We will be in Matthew chapter 22. And I had sent out online some scriptures that I'm going to ask you to memorize this week. It's from what we're going to be doing today. If you're here, I got them for you. So there you go. And so the scriptures that I passed out are the text we're going to be looking at today in Matthew 22. Okay. What if you owned a car manufacturing company and you make cars? And you wanted to make a car with all the latest features to appeal to a wide market. And so you put all your money into internet screens and seat warmers and self-driving sensors and very little money into the engine and the transmission. In the end, do you have good cars or bad cars? What do you think?
You have no good engine.
You have no good engine, but you've got great internet screens. You have bad cars. Mm-hmm. What if you owned a construction company and you built buildings and you put all of your money into decorative architectural features and very little money on the foundation? In the end, do you make good buildings or bad buildings?
Bad buildings.
You make bad buildings. They may be pretty because you put all your money into pretty, but they're bad buildings. They look good, but they're not good. Here in America, we have this saying. You may have something similar in your countries. Keep the main thing the main thing. That's a saying here in America. And that saying is true about making cars. You got to keep the main thing the main thing. You're making cars. Put good money into engines and transmissions. It's true of building buildings. Keep the main thing the main thing. It's true of teaching school. It's true of raising children. It's true of buying a house. It's true of relating to your spouse. And it's also true of walking with God. Keep the main thing the main thing. Jesus addresses this. Matthew 22. Let's start in verse 34. Here's what he says. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. And one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Now, as we've been reading in Matthew 22, we've been seeing that the Jewish leaders have been testing Jesus with questions. And here they have another question. What's the greatest commandment? And really, they're asking, concerning God, what's the main thing? What's the main thing we got to do? What is the foundation for walking with God? What is the engine that you need to get right if you're going to walk with God? That's what they're asking. And here's Jesus' answer. Verse 37 and 38. He says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment." Heart, soul, mind is just a way of saying everything, with everything. Jesus is saying, love God with your affections. Yes, your affections are a part of the Christian life. They're, in fact, they are an essential part of the Christian life. Love God with your emotions. Love God with your mind, with your thoughts. The thoughts you have should be loving thoughts concerning God. Love God with your deeds, with your priorities, with your life. Love God with everything you have. That's what Jesus is saying. That is the greatest commandment. And that must be the focus of your life. If you love God well, you will succeed in life. You will succeed with God if you love Him well. If you do not love God, you will ultimately fail. No matter how successful you become here on earth, in the end, you failed if you do not love God. If you do not love God, you are wasting your life. Because that's the main thing. You're like the car manufacturer that invests everything in internet screens, but has no engine. Loving God is the one thing that matters. Loving God is the one thing that, if I get one thing right, this is the thing I gotta get right. Loving God is the one thing you must get right. You have to get this right. This is so crucial because loving God affects everything. Now, this is the Christian ethic, so to speak. It's not that the Bible has no other commands, you know, like this is the only command there is. No, there are a lot of commands in the Bible. It's just that this command encompasses those other commands. If you will love God, you will actually keep those other commands because you love God. And those commands came from Him. And if you love Him, you want to do what He says. And so you will keep them, or if you fall, you will realize it and you'll confess and repent. If you love God. If you don't love God, well, those commands are just, they're commands. And so if you love God, then you will not steal. And you will not commit adultery. And you will not be putting down your spouse or abusing your kids or getting drunk or being involved in a homosexual relationship. If you love God, you will forgive when you are wronged. If you love God, you will give people the benefit of the doubt. If you love God, you will not be swayed by money. You will seek God with all your heart. You will worship Christ with all your heart. You will be grateful for what God has given you. You will not grumble that you don't have more. Complaining, worrying, you know, I should have this, and he's got that. If you love God, that's not a part of you. And if you love God, if you love Him above all things, then you will also love your neighbor as yourself. Loving God affects everything. Jesus says, this is the great and first commandment. This is the thing that matters above everything else in the entire world. This is the thing God wants more than he wants anything else. He wants you to love him. Loving God affects how you treat your wife or your husband. It affects how you raise your kids. It affects how you do your job. You'll do it with excellence and with integrity and honesty because you love God. Loving God affects your heart. It affects your attitudes. It affects how you handle money. It affects how you spend your time. If you love God, your time goes to God. It affects what things you think are important. It affects your priorities. It affects your entertainment. It affects everything. Everything. Loving God affects everything. There is no aspect of life that is not touched when you love God. That's why Jesus says this is the great and first commandment. If you pursue joy, but never love God in your pursuit of joy, you will never get joy. For joy comes when you fulfill the purpose for which you were made. And the purpose for which you were made is to love and enjoy God. If you pursue peace, but you don't love God, you'll never have peace. If you pursue happiness, but you never love God, you will not get happiness. You cannot get happy. It's not even possible to be truly happy. I'm not talking about this superficial happiness that you see all around us. I'm talking about a deep-seated happiness deep down in the heart that lasts. You won't get that unless you love God. Because happiness is not found on earth. It's found in God. You were made to be happy in Christ. Peace isn't found on earth. It's found in God. Joy isn't found on earth. It's found in God. And so people spend their lives pursuing this kind of stuff. It's, you know, when they're pursuing money, they're really pursuing contentment. It's not the money itself that they want. They want what the money can give them, or at least what they think the money can give them. They think it can give them contentment, so they pursue it. And when they get it, they find that they're not content because that's not what happens. It's got to be in God. You have to love him. All of the Christian virtues depend on loving God. You can't be humble without loving God. For you really, to be humble, you have to see your true condition. When you love God, you begin to see how exalted he is. And when you see how exalted he is, you see how weak and frail and sinful you are. And when you love God, you see more and more and more your need for God. And when you see this, you're beginning to take steps toward humility. Because this is what humility is. Humility comes from seeing God. But if you don't love him, you don't see him. And so, do you want the Christian ethic in its simplest form? It's right here. Love God. This is the Christian ethic at its most basic. Love him with everything you've got. That's the Christian life. Now, of course, there are a lot more details to the Christian life. But if you don't get that right, you're not going to get those details right. And if you do get this right, you're starting to get those details right. Now, Jesus says there's a second commandment. He says, and a second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Now, you see the connection, love. Love God, love your neighbor. They go together. The second commandment, love your neighbor, flows from the first commandment, love God. If you love God, you will love your neighbor. It just kind of happens. If you don't love God, you actually can't love your neighbor. It's not just that you don't or won't, you can't love your neighbor as God desires you to love your neighbor. Love begins with God and then flows to others. Now, Jesus said that on these two commands, this is verse 40 in what you're in the text that we're looking at. Jesus said that on these two commands, to love God and to love neighbor, depend all the law and prophets. The Greek word literally is hang. He's saying the law and the prophets hang on these two commands. Take away love, and the law falls apart. Take away love, and the law becomes meaningless. Now, sometimes you hear people say, I would rather love than believe that Jesus died for my sins. Or I would rather love than stay sexually pure, you know, stay out of bed before marriage. Or I would rather love than, and then fill in some command. There's, you know, they'll pick commands in the scriptures, and they'll hold up love on the one side and the command on the other side, and they put this in your mind, which is better, love or the command? And of course, everyone's going to say love because it's the greatest command, right? I would rather love. But usually the command they pick is a command that they don't do. They don't keep it or they don't like it for some reason. So they set up this dichotomy between the two. And sometimes people make you choose between love or the commands. And they don't get it. They have no idea what Jesus is really saying here. They don't understand love or the commands at all. See, Jesus is saying all the commands hang on loving God and loving your neighbor. Jesus is saying if you love, you actually keep these commands. There's no one or the other. If you love, you're going to do these commands. They follow. They're not opposites. The commands depend on loving God and loving your neighbor. Love is the reason for the commands. It's why they exist. They show you the details of what love will do in certain situations. And so you don't go around loving by violating the commands. That would show a lack of love if you violated the commands. Love upholds and keeps the other commands. Love empowers you to keep the commands. Because what love does is love is an internal motivator. It's coming from the inside of you when there's love. Love is not the opposite of the commands. Love, in fact, not only is it not the opposite of the commands, love is a command itself. You are commanded to love. In fact, in these texts right here, we're talking about the commandments, and which one is the greatest commandment? Love God. And what's the second? Love your neighbor. These are commandments. They're not options for you. They're commands from God. Love is not greater than all the law. Love is the central part of the law. It's what you're to keep. It's the part of the law you're to keep. It's not greater than the law. It is the law. Love does not invalidate the law. It fulfills it. And so if you do not love God, you are actually disobeying the law. Because the law tells you to love God, and you are disobeying God. You are not keeping the commandments if you do not love God. And you truly cannot follow the commandments without the law. Without love. Now, hear what I mean here. I mean, can you obey the commandments on the outside, you know? I don't steal, and I don't kill, and I don't, you know, lie, at least most of the time. And I don't, you know, whatever. Yeah, you can keep those commandments on the outside. But Jesus says that the intent of the commandments goes to the heart. See, Jesus says that anger violates the commandment, do not kill. Jesus says that lust violates the commandment, do not commit adultery. And there's the 10th commandment is do not covet. That's an internal thing. Coveting is a desire that you have inside you. Listen, guys, the commands themselves go to your heart. And if you follow the commands on the outside, but violate the commands on the inside, you have violated the commands. You could look good on the outside, but your attitude is wrong, and you have violated the commands. And Jesus says, when that happens, you are actually in danger of hellfire. Those are not my words. Those are Jesus's in Matthew 5. You're in danger of hellfire for violating, there he's talking about the command against anger. Without love, you can keep the commands on the outside, but not on the inside. You have to have love to truly keep these commands. Love of God is what comes first. It is how you keep these commands. And it's how you keep the heart of the commands, by loving God. Love of God means that you have a heart relationship with God. You and God, there's this heart thing going. If you do not have a heart relationship with God, you can't even begin to keep His commandments. Because His commandments go to the heart. And your heart is wrong. The moment you don't love God, you have a wrong heart. Now, what Jesus is saying here is what life is about. Jesus is summing up all of the law right here. So, let's get practical. He's saying, you want to keep God's laws? Start by loving God. That's how you begin to keep God's laws. Don't focus on, you know, whatever issue you've got. That's what we usually do. We focus on the issue that we have, that we're wrestling with. You know, I got to stay off pornography. Got to stay off pornography. Got to focus on loving God, not on I got to stay off. And you know what will happen? If you will love God consistently, you'll start coming off of pornography. Because he's changing your heart, and he's changing your priorities, and he's changing where your eyes go, and he's changing everything because you're loving him. Don't focus on, I got to control my temper. I got to control my temper. I just got to do it. Focus on loving God. That needs to be the focus. That's the great commandment. And you know what will happen if you'll focus on loving God? God will begin to work on your temper because your eyes are in a different place. Don't focus on, oh, I just got to stop worrying. I just worry so much. I can't stop it. I got to stop worrying. Got to stop worrying. And then our mind is on, I got to stop worrying. Worry, worry, worry. That's what your mind is on. Don't focus on that. Focus on loving God. And you know what will happen? He will begin to give you peace. Because you love him. And you realize, whatever it was you were worrying about isn't that big of a thing, because I got God. Don't focus on, I got to pray more. I got to pray more. Oh man, I just keep failing in prayer. And you bash yourself over the head because you fail in prayer and blah, blah, blah. Don't focus on that, what you got to do. Focus on loving God while you pray. And you know what will happen? God will give you a different kind of heart about prayer. All of a sudden, he gets in the midst of all of the prayer. And it's different. Don't focus on, I got to stop criticizing my wife or my husband or my kids or my friends or my boss or the government. Don't focus on all of the criticism that you've got to stop doing. Got to stop this, got to stop this, got to stop this. Focus on loving God. And you know what will happen? Slowly, he will focus you on him instead of your spouse or the government or your kids or your boss or whatever, whoever it is that is irritating you. And you will begin to grow a gentler tongue. Not because you're trying to necessarily, but because you're focused on God who is giving you a gentler tongue. Don't focus on, I got to overcome this greed. Oh man, I just wrestle with greed, selfishness, and greed. I got to overcome it. Focus on loving God. You know what will happen? When you focus on loving God, he will make you content. And when you're content, you're not greedy. Because if you're content, what do you need? Guys, this is how life works. Life doesn't work. If you want to live the Christian life, you will not live the Christian life by going out and I've got to live the Christian life. I've got to go live the Christian life. You will live the Christian life by focusing on loving God. That is the main thing. We got to keep the main thing the main thing. That's the main thing. You know, last week, we talked last week about Jesus and the Sadducees, and they asked him the question about the resurrection, and Jesus was talking about marriage, and we were talking about how marriage is not eternal. And I said, then don't live as if it is, as if your family is the most important thing. Don't live that way. We talked about that last week. This week, Jesus is basically saying the same thing in a different way. The great command is on God. The great and first commandment that you've got to get right. That if you get this right, you get the other stuff right. The other stuff will flow. But get this right. The great command is to love God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. That's the greatest command. That is the main thing. That is the focus of your life. That's where it's got to be. Not on all this other stuff, good as the other stuff is. That's the focus needs to be on Christ, on God, on loving Him. To love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. And so the secret to the Christian life is not, as I said, to go out and live it. It's to love God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. If you will do that, I think you're going to find that you're going to start living the Christian life. But that's got to be your focus. Loving God above all things. What I want to do is close in prayer, and I want to give you an opportunity to pray on your own for two things. The first is, I just want you to declare your love for God. I mean, this is the greatest command, right? So let's declare our love for Him. And the second is to actually ask Him to increase your love for God. Because this is what it's about. And so those two things, declare your love for God and ask Him to increase your love for God. And so I'm just going to give you opportunity to pray. You can pray on your own. You can pray silently. You can pray aloud. That's up to you. And then I'll close us in just a minute.